And here is the weather for the 10th of June, 1959.
In eastern districts, there'll be sunny periods at first tomorrow, and the rain later will be only slight. But in western places, it will remain dull for most of the day, and there will be periods of drizzle with coast and hill fog. The temperature will not fall below the middle 40s tonight. Tomorrow, it will rise generally to 55 to 60 degrees, but will be a few degrees higher in some eastern places.
Ah, oh, wonderful. The earliest known TV weather forecast, apparently, from, of course, the Met Office and the BBC, as we have been learning, is no longer going to use the Met Office for weather forecasts. The BBC says someone else could do the job just as well for less money. The Met Office says no one else would do the job as well. And others wonder whether there is politics involved, the BBC wanting to plead poverty to assist its case with the government, or perhaps climate change. The Met Office has been very vocal on climate change, inconveniently vocal, perhaps. Let's talk to Peter Moore, who is a historian, writer of The Weather Experiment, about the creation of the Met Office, and is here. And John Ketley is on the line. He really needs no introduction other than here is the weather with John Ketley. In fact, was that you, John, in 1959?
No, it wasn't, thank goodness.
Okay, first of all, Peter Moore, let's look at the reason for the decision, and I suppose whether it matters or why it matters. What do you think the importance of it is?
I think it's a significant moment, really. I mean, you played the first television forecast there. In fact, the connection with the BBC goes back right to the very first day of broadcast, the 14th of November 1922. And I've got here there was a bulletin which involved a rowdy meeting between Mr. Winston Churchill, news of a train robbery, and also a bulletin on fog from the Meteorological Department about fog in London. So there we go. It's a long history.
So that's not in itself a reason to keep it.
No, I think you can make a sentimental argument, but I think there's a much better one to be made about quality and also this unique role that the Met Office has in forecasting British weather. They're ranked as the premier forecaster.
So you are saying, other foreign companies, because it will be a foreign company, won't do it as well?
Well, I think that's plain because the Met Office are ranked as the number one forecaster in the world, and the press release we had from the BBC yesterday said they're going to provide the same service. Well, that seems to be in doubt.
John Ketley, do you think it is?
Can't really comment, actually, Justin, but I had very good training with the Met Office. I was with them for 30 years until I jumped ship 15 years ago. But I liken this, really, to the original members of the Football League. It was nice and cosy for 90-odd years, then somebody gets relegated. I'm afraid the Premier League came in the 90s, and very much since then, there have been a little bit of acrimonious atmosphere between the two parties, really, and they've got to try and get as much value as they can.
Yeah, but the point is that what we don't seem to get to the bottom of is whether the Met Office provides a service that other people simply can't provide, or whether actually in the modern world other people, properly funded, etc., will be able to. And you seem to think that, well, you're not really sure one way or the other.
Well, there's not enough information coming out just yet, Justin. That's the main thing. But I have to say that other people can do forecasts. Other people, I have my own consultancy company, and I forecast for different people. And the other people are out there who can do similar jobs. Whether they can do it as well as the Met Office on television and radio, the enormous commitment that there is, I'm not too sure at the moment.
Because the point, Peter Moore, is that the Met Office has weather stations and has a computer, as we know, a very big and expensive computer, and it's whether other people... Would other people use that information, or...
Well, I suppose we could end up in the kind of ludicrous situation whereby a foreign bidder gets the contract, then takes the data from the Met Office and recycles it around. So
really, is that what is likely to happen?
Well, if the Met Office has the best quality data, and the strangeness of these tendering processes can lead you into these situations whereby the money, instead of going into research and development for things like climate science and things that the Met Office does additionally to weather forecasting, it could also just go abroad as profit. So that's maybe a question. I think it's a strange state of affairs when you have the great national broadcaster, the BBC, and the great national weather bureau, the Met Office, and they can't work together in the national interest.
It's John Ketley, does the Met Office take some share of the blame for this, because they've just not been up to organising themselves in a way that keeps them right at the top and keeps them able to provide this sort of service at a cost that is the right cost?
Well, there's no doubt about this. The Met Office will be gutted by this decision. It's a big loss in their revenue. And one of the problems over the years has been that they've wanted more and more each time the contract's been up for renewal. They've got a little bit greedy, I think, and at the same time the BBC has been squeezed by the government, and who knows what's going to happen to the television licence. So I think, in a way, it was on pass, and it was perhaps something that was likely to happen eventually anyway.
Peter Moore, what about the security, national security side of all of this? Because one MP has raised a concern that in some moment of national crisis, actually the BBC, that relationship between the BBC and the Met Office is very important. Is that realistic?
I think so. I think, there's lots of possibilities I can think of arising whereby, I mean, of course, the Met Office used to be part of the Ministry of Defence, which is a significant, kind of reminder in a way that it is, part of protecting us from one of our vulnerabilities. The weather and forecasting can occasionally seem like a very trivial matter, but if you talk to fishermen and such like, it maybe isn't so much. I don't know. I think there's, a very strange, message coming out of the BBC, and we need more clarity, really, to why they've come to this decision.
But I don't understand why it's a matter of national security to have a weather forecaster in the Met Office.
To have them together, I think it's just a question of, the BBC providing the licence payers with...
No, but if there's some national catastrophe involving the weather, and you have a big foreign weather organisation, they will note it, and they'll pass it on to the BBC, and we'll pass it on to people.
Well, there's kind of a confusing situation whereby the Met Office is still going to provide severe weather warnings to the BBC. And if we have this tender goes through and it goes to a foreign provider, as we know it's going to, you're going to end up with a situation whereby there may be a gale approaching the coast, and you're going to have both the Met Office and the foreign provider at the same time providing information about the storm which is arriving. And I think one of the most important things with forecasting is the clarity of the message which comes from the forecaster to the person. So you can imagine a very strange situation there. So who are we to
trust? I tell you, we are eating into the time for today's weather, which we shouldn't do. But Peter Moore, thanks, and John Kettley as well on the line.
Thank you.